Hola, Stephen. Thank you.
I'm sure you've been going to a lot of Spanish language films in the last few months. I mean, last we had Roma, which picked up a wad of Academy Award nominations. And so what can you tell us about the sort of crop of the more recent sort of Spanish films that have sort of come out in the last 6 months?
It's been very interesting because I feel that the increasing importance of Netflix coming into the equation of the exhibition, distribution, and it's making new rules for film festivals. And so we are actually feeling very fortunate for the lineup that we put together for the 22nd edition of the Spanish Film Festival. It's becoming harder and harder. Nevertheless, we got to locked in amazing films that reflect how that industry it's progressing, you know, despite all the factors that come into the equation eventually at the moment of exhibiting the film.
Well, that is interesting about Netflix. While the film like Roma did get an actual cinematic release as well as getting shown at your festival last year, there's a lot of prestige cinema now that actually is not actually getting exhibited or gets just maybe one screening at a thing, which is, you know, it's a little bit of a change in just the way that people sort of see films. And
that's right.
Let's talk about them in the opening film. Now, I mean, I'd actually would much rather see this film with an audience, which I did, rather than sort of sit on a couch and see. Opening night film is a film called Champions. Now, it focuses on a disabled basketball team. It has a range of disabled non-actors. It's actually based on a true story. Did you want to tell us a little bit about this film?
Yeah, so this film, we chose it for an opening night for a reason. The film won the biggest Goya Award in Spain, plus other two categories. If you jump online and do research on the film has become a smash box office hit in Spain. And apparently it has done a lot for the community with disabilities than any other governmental initiatives. So it's been heartwarming to see how a film like this has touched so many brains and hearts and eventually got a group of people with disabilities to take home a lot of awards. There is a very, very stunning and beautiful speech at the Goya by one of these actors thanking the industry to put their eyes on them, to bring this story to the big screen, and above all to do the story legitimately with people with disabilities. The film also humanizes these characters. There is a female character with Down syndrome that's actually, she's an smart ass. And she...
Yeah. I've seen a lot of films with disability where all the disabled characters are, you know, all angels. But it actually becomes so sentimental that it doesn't actually project reality, and actually find that. But in this, you really do get the characters' warts and all. And I mean, you actually just humanize them by actually, you know,
showing them
with their quirks. Sort of. I mean, there's a lot of PC humor, which at the beginning, but it is there for a purpose. It is certainly not. You are laughing with the characters. You're not laughing at the characters.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So yeah, at the end, the film leaves a very, very interesting message. So I guess that for everyone who is like keen to come and watch a film, I encourage them to stay from beginning to end and to pay attention to all those details that will, I guess, expand that conception that we have about disabilities. And enjoy the ride.
So what's interesting this year is also that there seem to be a lot of films in lots of different areas of Spain. I mean, traditionally, I mean, you just see a lot of films are made in Madrid or Barcelona. But I was having a look and you got films in Bilbao, Catalonia, Malagna. And one film that piqued my interest is called Twin Two Waters. And it's set in San Fernando, an area with the highest unemployment in Europe. About two brothers. Want to tell us a little bit about this film?
Oh my God, that's one of my favorite films. This director is one of the big ones from Spain. He is really good at portraying fictional stories but making them look almost like documentaries. And so the Between Two Brothers is really the continuation of a film that he made 15 years ago. Don't have to watch that his previous films to understand this one. But it's very, very interesting to see how he stay connected with each of the characters that he had 15 years ago. Ah. So you can actually his latest film Between Two Waters has flashbacks of his previous films, and so that's why you understand that there is a, and seeing the physical transformation of these actors, which again are non-actors, it's just amazing. Yep, the film takes us to immerse us into the life of this marginalized community. Mm. There is a special interest in portraying what's life like after coming out of prison. And yeah, it's one of my personal highlights.
And this year, there's also a film called The Accordionist Son. Now, it's based on one of Basque region's most famous writers, Bernardo Ajag. But this delves into the dark aspects of Spanish history. Can you tell us a bit about this one?
So, yep, this is another drama. The whole thing is basically a flashback of the main character upbringing. He's grown up between his right-wing family and his left-wing side of family, so the maternal side of the family. So he lives this dichotomy, and eventually he has to decide side to take. And that's the same sort of like war that people from those regions are still living.
Now, there's also quite some films shown from Latin America. One of them is Pablo Chabero's follow-up to The Clan. Now, this is called The Quietude, and it's got some pretty big name actors. It's got Berenice Benno and Edgar Ramirez. Now, I believe this is also about the Argentine dictatorship. Can you tell us anything about this one?
Another of my favorite ones. I love Pablo Trapero. Every film that he does is very unique. So what's my favorite aspects of this film, aside from the director, is that it's an original story. The performances of the actors are astounding. Also that it mixes the very dark side of a wealthy family. It mixes all these dark dramas that they go through since they are kids and puts it into the context of the dictatorship. But dictatorship is not the main subject. It is rather how all these personal stories tangle together and create a very dark and surreal context. But at some point you are like, oh my God, I can't believe that happens. But that surely happens. I love that film. And the twist at the end is amazing as well.
And just before you go, are there any other films that you'd recommend from the lineup that we haven't mentioned?
We had three LGBTQ films, and one of them is one of my favorites as well. It's called Carmen y Lola. Film was a revelation for me because it's got the story of a gypsy community in Spain. And to be honest, it made me feel a bit ignorant when I finished watching it. I had this conception of gypsy community to be like free spirit. I don't know why. And then this film is made by a female director that usually does documentaries. So this is her first fictional feature. Female director, she's so familiarized with this community, gypsy community, and with LGBTQ matters. So it's a very legitimate and genuine story about the dynamics in the gypsy community, how conservative they could be, how they manage their own laws and thing, and what are the struggles for someone from gay or lesbian in this community. And it was just a revelation for me. None of the actors are like professional actors, so that was very impressive to see these girls delivering amazing performances, and the story is just very delightful to watch. So I think that's one of my highlights. That's Carmen y Lola.